are coming back to another episode of Tales of the Resistance. This is a podcast all about antimicrobial resistance and how it's going to impact your daily lives, our daily lives, everybody's daily lives. I'm Mara Zeltz, and I am the project manager with the I Am Responsible Project here out of the University of Nebraska. And I'm going to be joined on the podcast today, as always, by the marvelous Amber Patterson.
Hi, I'm Amber Patterson. I'm the Multimedia Graphics Designer for the Schmidt Lab and the I Am Responsible team, and I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's great to be back with you guys. And today we're going to be returning to the plethora of questions that we received from the audience over the last few months. We did a few in the last couple episodes, and we barely scratched the surface. We've got a lot more to cover, so that is what we're going to do today. We'll just keep going until we get through them all. But don't forget, you can continue to submit new questions if you would like by reaching out to the team on social media. Also, find us on our website, iamrproject.com. It's been a long time, but we finally got it going, and we invite you to engage with us there. So continue to submit those questions, and we'll keep going through them as we can. We've got some other cool programming things coming up soon, so we won't be doing this forever, but we're excited to get into it more today. So let's just start with this first one, which is huge, but it is going to kind of guide a little bit of the discussion today, and that is, what is being done about AMR? And I don't know what you thought, Amber, when you first read this question. I mean, I think this is probably what a lot of people have is their first question. Once they've figured out, oh yeah, this is a pretty serious problem, it's like, okay, so who's responsible and what is happening? What were your first thoughts?
Well, I just thought it's more complex than that. You can't really point to one person or even a group of people and be like, they're responsible and they'll take care of it. It really does come down to we all have a role, and that it's going to be behavioral changes that make the most impact in terms of combating AMR.
Yeah, 100%. When I think about what is being done about AMR, it's really like what is being done about AMR within every different sector, and they all have to add up. We're all adding just a single drop to the bucket, but no one is going to be able to solve the problem on their own. I actually did a little bit of reading up on this just because I wanted to get an idea of what everybody else was doing. And so I kind of searched a few big organizations that are really involved in AMR. So I started with the World Health Organization and to kind of see how they've broken down what they're focusing on to address this. And they said there were things like the importance of building up leadership and cooperation across the One Health spectrum, which is kind of what you're saying. It's a super complicated problem. One of the major things that we're going to have to do to solve it is just figure out how to work together better. That sounds like a table stakes or whatever, but it's to make cooperation, communication, and leadership that is so broad reaching within our societies and around the world, it really takes real focus of organization and planning to make something like this happen. And that's a goal in and of itself, to sort of build the capacity to do leadership, communication, and coordination across all these spectrums. Another one that comes up a lot is we got to be able to figure out what disease people have more quickly. Because we've talked about on this, how important it is to take antibiotics wisely, antibiotic stewardship, and you don't want to take something, an antibiotic that is going to create resistance in species that aren't a problem, that aren't pathogenic to you at the time. So you want a narrow spectrum, very targeted treatment if you can, but that's not possible if it takes 5 days to figure out what you're sick with. Right. So, big part of the solution is going to be the research and development to identify how we can identify diseases more quickly and more specifically than we do now. Because a lot of times now you'll go to the doctor and they'll look at the symptoms and they're like, well, it could be one of these five things. But this type of medicine will probably work. And that's fine, but it could probably, what you're going to do is it's some kind of broader spectrum antibiotic, which also impacts a lot of other species in your body and could be developing resistance in them at the same time. So we want a narrow target if we can. And then, like you said, Amber, what is being done is people are individually changing behavior. So everyone is getting involved here. Everyone has to get involved, and it's an all hands on deck problem. So, and that's just scratching the surface. It's very, as you said, complex. And the next question is going into this again, what sectors or industries are mainly responsible for the problem? And we kind of touched on this when we said everybody has a role. How about for you, Amber, when, as you've been learning about antimicrobial resistance more and more and more, have you been surprised by any potential contribution that you didn't know was out there? Because there's just so many ways that we're contributing as individuals or in different industries. What was one that stood out to you?
I think what has surprised me the most, and I'm still learning about, is the agricultural influence on AMR.
Mm-hmm.
That's really new to me, the idea of AMR and animals and that spreading to humans. I find that all really interesting, and that's something that I hadn't really considered before. I mean, it's really easy to think, okay, take your prescriptions as prescribed, wash your hands, things like that. But the agricultural part is a little bit more complex and something that I'm not quite as familiar with.
Yeah. And this is kind of going back to the idea that everything is so complex and so interconnected. They call it one health problems because animal health, human health, environmental health, they're all so connected and they impact each other in ways that we don't always think about. When an animal is sick, whether it's a livestock animal or a pet or a wildlife, their potential to spread their disease either to other animals or to people, or just to leave that bacterial pathogen in the environment somewhere, which could then transfer to another animal or a person. So it's all, we're all moving through the world together. We have to be cognizant that it's not just us. All of our health is related to each other. When any disease that we get or any treatment that we're taking for the disease can impact other animals, or that we take antibiotics, our sewage and stuff is full of antimicrobial resistance. It does undergo treatment, but that treatment is not necessarily aimed at antimicrobial resistant DNA. So you get that released into the environment, then that's picked up by wildlife or livestock. So it's so connected. I would actually say for me, another, I don't know if it's a surprise, but just we don't think about how many antimicrobials are being used, because we talk about antimicrobial resistance. And I think mostly people think about antibiotics. And so antibiotics, where do we use antibiotics? That's in medicine for people or for animals. But antimicrobials are a much broader category, and we use antimicrobials everywhere. They're in hand sanitizer. We spray them on citrus trees because there's bacterial pathogens for trees. When you're in your garden or in crops, or when you're disinfecting things, that's an antimicrobial, or it could be. If it's alcohol or a bleach, that's not necessarily considered antimicrobial because there isn't a genetic mutation that will help a species survive it that otherwise couldn't. But there are certain antimicrobials that are used as disinfectants and can help develop more antimicrobial resistance with the similar resistance to similar effects that an antibiotic might have or something like that. So there's just so many antimicrobials out there, and it's all part of the problem. In order to answer the question in terms of what sectors and industries are mainly responsible, well, if we just talk about antibiotic resistance, then we're talking about medicine, human and animal medicine, because antibiotics are drugs. But if we're talking about antimicrobial resistance, then it's really everywhere. And then of course, who's mainly responsible? Well, it's naturally occurring. Even if humans weren't here, there would be antimicrobial resistance. You could also say the microbes are responsible themselves. So
yeah, no, that's true. That's a good point. It's not easy to say it's one or the other. It's such an interconnected issue.
Mm-hmm. And which is why we always say everyone has a role. And that doesn't just mean that we all can do something. We're all responsible for having created the problem. And so we're all responsible for solving it. And I don't want to get us derailed on like talking about similar massive wicked problems, you know, wicked being systemic, hard to address problems in a world that we live in. And there are some where you've got maybe responsible people who can kind of insulate themselves from the repercussions of their actions. And that creates all kinds of problems for how do we get everybody on board with solving it? Well, AMR is not that way. We can't insulate ourselves from antimicrobial resistance. Like we talked about in our book series, there is no world that you can live in that is disease-free. We're just learning to manage the problem. So you can't protect yourself entirely. You're just in the world. Antimicrobial resistance is something you're going to have to deal with if it becomes a problem, no matter how much money you have or what country you live in. So it's on all of us to solve the problem, because we all kind of cause it, but we also each individually need to solve the problem for our own survival. So that may give us a hope that the actions that have already been taken are just the beginning, and we're going to start seeing major change on this.
And that's a good segue to question number 3.
Yeah.
What are everyday actions could I be doing that might be increasing AMR?
Right. For me, I guess we've got two things. We're reducing our responsibility, our contribution to the problem, while also trying to insulate ourselves from the problem that is coming from the outside. And they're related activities, I would say. But one of them would be what we've talked about over and over again, is how we use antibiotics and antimicrobials. We have to use them as they're designed to be used. We don't want to go to the point to say, oh, you need to not use them at all. We don't want to tell a pet owner that they can't give antibiotics to their pets, or that just because your disease is not life-threatening, you shouldn't take medicine. So we're going to need to use antibiotics and antimicrobials, because there's just so much suffering if we don't. But we want to use them as they're designed to be used. The right dose and the right delivery method, the right type of antibiotic, the right duration. So use as directed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Recently, my dog was sick and she had a stomach bug. The vet wasn't able to pinpoint exactly what it was. And she gave her an antibiotic. And I always take my antibiotics as prescribed. Well, I should say that since I've started working with the AMR team. But it seemed a little overkill, because it was like over a week's worth of antibiotics and my dog's condition cleared up in just a couple of days. But as hard as it was getting those pills down her throat, I made sure to finish the cycle because that's how it was prescribed. And knowing that AMR can be present within animals, I was very judicious about making sure she took her prescription. But I think if I had not known that knowledge otherwise, I probably would have stopped giving her the pills. So It's just knowledge, you know, knowledge is power.
Yeah. And the thing that goes with that is that there is a role to be played in examining all of these prescribing practices. If doctors are prescribing better safe than sorry levels, maybe there's a need, a part of the solution. And this is something that is being done by FDA and by different doctors, sort of medical organizations around the country and public health experts, is going through and looking at prescribing recommendations for all kinds of medicines or antibiotics for animals and for people, and just re-examining what the recommended levels are for different antibiotics and trying to get the right concentration in the right number of days and the right delivery method. When you take it as prescribed, you will have the minimal amount of resistance that could possibly be developed. So as that is being done, keep following your doctor's advice on the prescription. Those prescriptions may be changing, the advised prescriptions are changing, but I don't think any of us feels like we're in the place to decide what they should be ourselves, but that is work that is being done.
Yeah.
And sort of similar to that is, and I don't think either of us have been in this position, but you do hear sometimes is people who ask for antibiotics. I think we've talked about this before, but I've certainly read it. There's been a lot of studies on trying to figure out why antibiotics are prescribed more than they are needed. I think I read 20% or more of antibiotics that are prescribed are inappropriate. Mm-hmm. They're inappropriate in the dosage, in the type of antibiotics, or in the need for antibiotics at all. So it's a pretty big amount there. There's been a lot of work on trying to figure out why that might be. And there's a pretty consistent concern by the medical professional who is the prescriber, because they're also business people, essentially. They want to keep their patients. They're also their clients. If their clients are unsatisfied with the medical services, they might go to somebody else. And with this consideration, doctors say they feel pressure to prescribe something anytime somebody comes in because they're sick. They don't feel like they can say no, that you don't need an antibiotic. You just need rest, stay hydrated, stay rested, stay home. That should be enough. And most doctors, they don't feel that they can say that without the financial repercussions to their own business. So that's another thing to think about is how can we as people change that perception of our doctors? That's a dangerous precedent to have, right? To feel that they need to prescribe.
Right.
No matter what, we got to reinforce a different perception of us as patients, that we don't require medicine unless we actually require medicine.
It really comes down to educating patients about AMR and antibiotic use.
Exactly, exactly. And another one, in terms of everyday actions that could be increasing AMR, is all the stuff that we're doing that could be contributing to the spread of diseases. And this is a little bit overlapping with an idea of how do I reduce my risk for getting disease. But if we had an antimicrobial resistant infection, even if it wasn't serious, we didn't really know about it, we could easily spread it to other people by not taking all of the precautions for reducing the spread of disease that we've talked about in the past. Mm-hmm. Hand washing or
staying home
if you're sick. Another big one is safer sex practices, because gonorrhea is a really important growing antimicrobial resistant infection. It has, I think, maybe only one still available treatment, which is not available to everyone because some people will be allergic to that. So we're getting pretty widespread resistant gonorrhea. The safer sex practices that we all learned about in health class in high school, well, you know, they may be important to protect yourself from a resistant form of gonorrhea. That's important too. And then of course, anything food safety, if you're preparing food for not just yourself, but others, you could be transferring antimicrobial resistance if you're not taking all those food safety steps. So anything like that, or vaccines, keep up with your vaccines, because otherwise, you could be transferring diseases that you didn't need to get to other people. So all of that stuff is part of how we individually can be contributing to AMR, I would say.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I guess we're going to leave it there for today. And thank you, as always, for joining us. And we will see you again soon.
Goodbye. Thanks for joining us.